Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says, "because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this week about old age. You may be amused by this that somebody sent me, you know, one of those author unknown things. It's entitled, "Life Begins at 80. I have good news for you. The first 80 years are the hardest. The second 80 are a succession of birthday parties. Once you reach 80, everyone wants to carry your bag and help you up the steps. If you forget your name or anybody else's name, or an appointment, or your own telephone number, or promise to be three places at the same time, or can't remember how many grandchildren you have, you need only to explain that you are 80. Being 80 is a lot better than being 70. At 70, people are mad at you for everything. At 80, you have a perfect excuse no matter what you do. If you act foolishly, it's your second childhood. Everybody's looking for symptoms of softening of the brain. Being 70 is no fun at all. At that age, they expect you to retire to a house in Florida and complain about your arthritis. They used to call it lumbago. And you ask everybody to stop mumbling because you can't understand them. Actually, your hearing is about 50% gone. If you survive until you're 80, everybody is surprised that you are still alive. They treat you with respect just for having lived so long. Actually, they seem surprised that you can walk and talk sensibly. So please, folks, try to make it to 80. It's the best time of life. People forgive you for anything. If you ask me, life begins at 80. As you wait upon the Lord, you learn to see things from His perspective. You can move at God's pace, and you can function under His directives. Waiting times are growing times and learning times. As you quiet your heart, you enter the peace of God. As you sense your weakness, you receive His strength. As you lay down your will, you hear His calling. When you mount up, you are being lifted by the wind of His Spirit. When you move ahead, you're sensitive to His timing. When you act, you give yourself only to the things that He has asked you to do. That's by a man named Roy Lesson. And I love that. He's talking about waiting on the Lord. As you wait upon the Lord, you learn to see things from His perspective. Now, I have made for myself a whole long list of some of the fear nots of the Bible. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Joshua 10:25 says, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee." Genesis 15:1, "Fear not, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I'm pretty sure that there's somebody listening to me today who is very fearful. Perhaps you're facing an operation. Perhaps the doctor has already told you that your difficulty may be fatal. Perhaps someone you love is undergoing deep difficulties and trials. Are you afraid? Remember the fear nots of the Bible. Some of you, I hope, read every day a little book called Daily Light. And this little book has been around for more than 100 years. It has a reading for morning and evening, and it is pure scripture. It's not anything that any of us made up out of our heads. And the passage for April 9, I'll read the morning passage first. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Here's a poem by author unknown. I wish I knew who wrote this. But this is what it says. I shall not mind the whiteness of my hair, or that slow steps falter on the stair, or what strange image greets me in the glass. If I can feel as roots feel in the sod, that I am growing old to bloom before the face of God. As I'm taping this program for Gateway to Joy, I'm 73 years old. In another 4 months, I will be 74. Do I have any idea what is going to transpire between now and then? Well, I think I have a few ideas, but of course, perhaps none of them will take place. I can look in the mirror, and I see the whiteness of my hair. I realize that perhaps my steps may falter on the stair, although I feel as though I'm just as active as I have ever been. My husband could probably tell you that I'm not. And as for the strange image that greets me in the glass, that is, the mirror, it's a shocker every morning. I look in that face and I say, who in the world is that? Is that Elizabeth Elliot? When did I ever look like that? Well, the truth is, you're looking like that more and more every day. If I can feel, as roots feel in the sod, that I am growing old to bloom before the face of God. Wonderful, isn't it, that I can think about the fact that one of these days I'm going to be standing before the face of God. And I hope that will be soon. Are you tempted to fear? Well, who is it that is called the tempter? It's Satan himself. And he would love to get you worrying about tomorrow, or next week, or next year. He even gets me worried about things that I've already done, things in the past. Remember that we have an adversary who would love to keep us in bondage to fear. All the time thinking about what ifs. What if I get sick? What if my husband gets sick? What if one of my children gets sick? What if we lose our money? What if the house burns down? What if we have to move to Florida? Am I going to spend this whole day stewing and fretting and wringing my hands and wondering? Am I going to be afraid? There was a time not very long ago, well, yeah, it was pretty long ago, like 30 years or so, that I was called upon to take a trail through the forest to a place where I might encounter people called Aucas, who were a tribe of Indians that killed my husband and four other men in 1956. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell you a little bit about fearing along that trail.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.